Our gospel reading for this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. When the disciples went back to where they were staying, now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell him where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him, cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Here ends the reading.
Our next reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with them. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God has already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Here ends our reading.
God's grace, his mercy, and his peace to you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. How wonderful that statement is. But I have to ask, as we gather on Easter morning, reflecting on the text, a question does come up from our gospel reading today, and that question is, what are you here for? And this might seem like an odd question, but it's one that if you look at your gospel text, That is one of the first words that Jesus says to Mary. Think about how weird that sounds. What are you here for? To a girl that is crying in a garden by tombs. What are you here for? To someone who is distraught over the loss of her teacher, her rabbi, the one that she thought was the Messiah, the one that she had been following and serving. And what are you looking for? Is the response that he gives to someone who is crying because she believes with all of her heart that his body has been taken away. And so she cries out to her gardener, who she can barely see straight, "Tell me where he has been taken and I will go get him." Because she woke up early in the morning, as early as she could, before we hear in John's gospel the sun has even risen, so that she can go and tend to his body, because she wasn't able to before then. And what does he do to someone who is that distraught? What is Jesus' response there? He says her name. And this changes everything for her. Calling her by name while she still didn't know and understand, calling her by name while she was in the darkness of this garden and the darkness of anxiety, worry, and doubt, changes how she then saw what this morning meant. Brothers and sisters, as we have been going through hearing the promises of God and working through and saying, what is the promise that you have? We now shift to say, what is the promise that we have for those that are in need around us? And this morning, we hear of the good news given to one who was distraught and in agony in her very soul. And it gives us pause on Easter morning to say, what is the good news that we have ourselves? Because as we gather together, we have been saying time and time again, and so we'll say it again, Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And this line is one of the greatest lines that you could ever say with the breath and life that God has given to you. But what is it that we're saying? What is it that we're looking for? Because for some, it might not have a lot of weight to it. We could say, Alleluia, he is risen indeed. Let's go have an amazing breakfast the elders have prepared for us. I know they put a lot of work into it and their wives helped out with that, and it's going to be a great breakfast. Is that the good news that you have? Alleluia, he is risen. Let's go find some eggs. Sadly, is that the good news that Easter morning brings to you? Where you go, yes, he is risen. And so let's have a party today. I say this not even tongue in cheek. I say this with sincerity, because is your good news that you have a good enough news to speak to a woman that is crying in a cemetery with no hope left in life? Is the good news that this morning brings to you good enough that you could share it with someone who is looking at death's door saying, I have no hope in the world. Tell me where they have taken my Lord. Do you have good enough hope when you were at death's door yourself? This morning, when we proclaim the greatest news in all of creation, that he is alive, he is risen, is it just good news for Jesus? Okay, good, he's alive. That is great. Because brothers and sisters, I do not want to leave you there just as Jesus didn't leave Mary there. Instead, we have good news that he is alive just as he said. He affirmed what he had promised to the disciples, to creation, to you. The good news is that we don't have a Lord who just says, I can do these things. He shows it. He shows that what he has done is possible and is done. The good news of Easter isn't just that we have a Lord who can do all things and says, I could. But he is able to and does do it. When he says death has been defeated, he defeated death. When he has risen and says, I will rise, that is good news. And it's not just good news for him, because he says that the death he died, we hear in Scripture, he died for you. And so the good news that this news brings isn't just that he is risen, it's that you are risen. That is the glorious news that Easter brings. That is the glorious news that is there. And that is the glorious news that we get to share. because you have good news that comes and speaks to someone who, just by calling her by name, you get to say, this is not just good news for Jesus and it's not just good news for me, but that you get to insert your own name or the name of someone that you know that is in need of hearing this good news as well. That you have a Lord who on Easter we get to celebrate and says that because he lives, I know that I live as well. And so today we reflect, we rejoice, and we celebrate that this good news is not just, hallelujah, he is risen. We know that tomorrow chocolate will be on sale. This is good news that is there for you for life. And so for the next couple of weeks, we'll be looking about the fact that he reaches out with good news for those that are in need of hearing it. For those who do not understand, whether it be tears in their face or whether there's so much going on in life that they miss it right in front of them. There is a pastoral image that is often used at Easter so many times that speaks to this very thing. I don't know if it actually ever happened. I've heard it so many times in sermons where it was a children's message. And they were talking about this very thing about how Jesus goes and speaks to Mary. And so the pastor was trying to get this point across to the kids, going, what was the first thing that Jesus said when he was risen? And a child raised his hand, knowing and saying, I know what he said when he came out of the tomb. And so the pastor said, what was it? And he says, ta-da! Sadly, we laugh, but that's almost the Lord that we think we have. That's the Lord we sometimes wish we had too. We want the Lord who comes out of the tomb going, ta-da, I did it. Not the Lord who speaks and says, Mary. The Lord who speaks to you and inserts your name. Brothers and sisters, as glorious as it would be and as comical as it is of a Lord who would come out and says, I'm alive again. We have a Lord who does more. We have a Lord who goes to us when we have nothing left to give and are going and saying, there is no hope for today, tomorrow, or the rest of my life. Because we have a Lord who has promised that he has removed guilt, shame, doubt. We have a Lord who has shown that he has removed our sin. He has removed our fears. He has removed our anger. And he has removed all that has blinded us to what is right there in front of us. And he calls you by name to be lifted up to see that he is standing there. And so do not limit the power of what this morning brings. For yes, it will include the chocolate. Yes, it will include the ham. It will include the breakfast. And it will include all the glories. But it has so much more that is there for you. So do not limit what this day is for. In Jesus' name, amen.